welcome to the Fitness Renaissance Podcast. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with Jason Krimser and Caleb White tonight. That's right, we're all back together after a long hiatus. We've all been busy doing our own thing here lately, but we're kind of back together right before the holidays start. And guys, great to be back with you guys.
Yes, sir. Jonathan, roger that. Good to be back with you, with everybody. Looking forward to introduce a really relative and interesting topic tonight, dealing with muscle imbalances. I think this is a common problem that plagues most everybody, and that can be related to a number of issues. Jason, could you tap on that, please, really, for us?
Well, when you think about muscle imbalances and, you know, how they pertain to you, Kale mentioned just about everybody suffers from them. Let's first take a look at what exactly a muscular imbalance is. Your body has a very specific order, a very specific template that it needs to follow in order to be maximized, in order for maximum health. For instance, certain muscles need to be stronger than others. Certain muscles need to be more tight, more loose, weaker, you know, whatever, to maintain a proper posture. Your posture is, you know, basically how you stand, how you are comfortable. If you were to just kind of jump up and do a few jumping jacks and then just stop and stand still, that's kind of like your basic posture. You know, how you're standing is your posture. And what happens is, you know, through everyday life, let's just face it, when we were created, you know, typically, your typical day would usually spend, you know, way back in the day, would be out in the fields and working and, you know, standing up and kind of maintaining that natural optimal body posture. But the way society has evolved, a lot of workers and, you know, professionals will be, you know, in different, it's a much different style of work nowadays, specifically in the office. Most office workers don't really get out and sweat a lot in their job, at least, unless you're involved, you know, in a working out, or you're a member of a gym, or you go to a gym regularly. You're not going to do a whole lot of, you know, movement. I mean, you might be, you know, moving your hand back and forth, writing or picking up a book or something, but you're not really getting, your active lifestyle isn't really going to be helping to maintain that proper posture and alignment. Excuse me. For instance, you know, if you're sitting there, or like I was saying, if you're working in an office and you're sitting there and that's basically it, you're just sitting there. Your body, as we mentioned before many times, is an adaptation machine. It's built to withstand whatever stress you put on it and adapt to make yourself more comfortable with that situation. Explain, if you're sitting in a chair for, you know, 8 hours out of the day, you're not standing, and therefore your body is going to adapt to that position. Specifically, if you think about sitting, your glute muscles or your butt muscles are going to be stretched. They're going to be increased over that angle of, you know, the lower part of your back, and they're going to become much more loose. Your hip flexors, which is kind of the antagonist. An antagonist is a muscle that does the opposite of another muscle. Your antagonistic muscle group is going to be your hip flexors. And those are going to become very tight because as you're sitting there, that's a decreased angle. Just think of your thigh connecting with your abdominals. Okay, that's the muscles that flexes that muscle upward. Okay, and it's a decreased angle. They're going to become very tight. Well, what happens when you stand up? They're going to be stretched, and they're not going to be used to being stretched, and so they're going to want to stay in that natural, or that quote unquote natural position that you put them in, and your posture is going to be affected. Go ahead, Kel.
No. Jason just had such a great point. It just started triggering a lot of things in my head, is that, you know, simply put, from a scientific perspective, when you are in flexion, you are decreasing the angle of the joint, which is basically what Jason just referred to as when most people are sitting down, their hip flexors are in flexion, and so they're in a shortened, tight position. And like you said, the gluteus maximus, a lot of those lateral musculature of the hips are in a lengthened position. A quick point I wanted to add in there is that whether a muscle is shortened or lengthened, it is still weak. Just because you're sitting there with really tight hips or a really tight back doesn't mean that it's strong and needs to be just stretched. Flexibility obviously is something that has to be addressed to shorten muscles, but also proper strengthening and corrective exercises must be implemented. But Jason, just to get back on, and Jonathan, I think you had something you were going to add, so I want to get back to you on that, but just to go ahead and give you a synopsis of what's going on is most people sit down. Most people are going to be in a seated position. Their hip flexors are going to become dominant. And, if there's one muscle group, just to simplify things tonight, that we could just say, what's one thing you can do if you're sitting down for 10 hours a day? Well, you need to find out a way to stretch your iliopsoas, which is your main hip flexor muscle. That's going to be the main type culprit. And along with what Jason was saying, you need to probably work harder on strengthening the glutes, your butt, because those aren't doing anything. They're lengthened the entire day. Mm-hmm. But just to get back to what you guys were on, Jonathan, do you have something?
Well, I was just going to mention too. I mean, that kind of brought to mind with a lot of people. You know, we mentioned that so much of what work is done, the work that's done today, is sedimentary. People aren't moving a lot. You know, you're sitting in a chair all day, and we're having more chronic back problems than ever. Lower back problems are a bigger problem, but there's low, you know, it's kind of funny that we have more back problems than ever, but not as much manual labor. And so,
right. Well, you know, it's so funny because there's so many myths out there. I mean, it's ridiculous how many things will form, you know, because, you know, one person will, you know, who's not a fitness expert will have a problem and they'll blame it on something that seems obvious and that seems logical. And so rumors can spread like wildfire before you know it, you know, that you can think that, you know, something's true and it's really not. Namely, Jonathan's talking about back problems. I mean, I can't think of a more, you know, common ailment than back problems. Well, people want to blame it on, you know, work. They want to say, oh, you know, I was out in the garage and I was lifting boxes and God, my back's killing me, and so I don't need to be lifting anything. Well, the reason that is because you spend most of your days sitting, or, you know, you don't necessarily have to be sitting, but not strengthening your lower back, you know, not strengthening your glutes. Mm-hmm. And when those muscles are weak or, you know, tight, even worse, they're weak and tight, which, as Caleb mentioned, just because it's tight or loose doesn't mean they're weaker or stronger. You can have weak tight muscles, weak loose muscles, strong tight muscles, and strong loose muscles. Well, not really strong loose muscles. But the point I'm trying to make here is if you put in your dues and you spend your time in the gym performing correct postural exercises, then when you go out there and you're in the garage and you're doing manual labor, you decrease drastically your chance for injury. And you actually improve your posture, you improve your health, and you reduce that chance. And like I was saying, I mean, it's people go out and their backs aren't used to doing any kind of labor. They're not used to working. Mm-hmm. And so when you go out and all of a sudden you're lifting heavy things, bam, you throw your back out, you slip a disc, you know, whatever, because your body is not used to it. That's why you go to the gym. That's why you do these exercises. That's why you work out, is so that when the opportunity calls and, you know, the holidays are rolling around and you're getting that tree from the tree farm, or you're pulling boxes out of the attic, you don't injure yourself.
Mm. I think Jason had a great point. You know, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Exactly.
So don't expect that you can sit behind a desk all day and just be able to, you know, survive and functional life as we know it, because you're not going to be able to pick things up and move around like you were at 20 years old and expect not to get hurt.
Right.
So if you're not making steps to make yourself active and to approach this with the right approach, you're going to set yourself up for failure.
Well, and
absolutely.
Well, and you know, just getting back to the muscular imbalances. You know, you have to look at the body and determine, as Caleb was saying, what is the dominant muscle, okay? When it comes to flexion or extension of the hip, which would be if you stand perfectly still in a straight, you know, standing up straight, and you lift one or both legs, which you can't really do standing, but you lift one leg up and you bring your knee up, that's flexion of the hip. And then if you push it back down, that's extension of the hip.
Mm.
If you look at that motion, you look at the muscles that are involved, the glutes, which are going to extend your hip, which is your butt, are the dominant muscle. They're the big muscle, and they need to be strengthened more than anything because they are activated. They're used much more in just your everyday walking around life. And here's another, speaking of myths, here's another thing that people just do not realize. You know, if you think of, if you're a guy and you think of, you know, you're wanting to get big, or, you know, and you look at guys and you think, oh man, that guy's got a huge chest, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're looking at like a magazine or any kind of fitness magazine where the guy is a true fitness professional, it may appear, and his chest I'm sure is big, but it may appear that that's the dominant muscle of his trunk, mm-hmm. but in reality, it's the lats, it's the back muscle. If you see him flex with his arms spread, it looks kind of like he's got that V taper, that wing shape. The lats encompass twice as much body mass, or should encompass twice as much body mass as the chest. Mm-hmm. And that's a common, that's a huge myth. I mean, guys all the time are going to the gym and they're just sitting there just pumping it out on the bench press. And, you know, and then they wonder why they have back problems or their posture looks terrible. And honestly, they don't even, they look terrible because their shoulders are protracted, you know, they're coming forward and their back is all weak and they just look terrible. I mean, just quite honestly, that's another very common myth. The back muscles, the lats specifically, are the dominant muscle when it comes to your trunk, not your chest. And that's why you have to really, you really hit those back muscles.
Jason, believe it or not, you've hit on probably one of the, I think the probably the biggest point of this podcast tonight, and that is that, you know, everything that we do is anteriorly, meaning,
right,
frontwards. Our backs are going to get neglected, guys. Exactly. It's just science. You're not. We do things. Everything that we've done, that we do, we engage all of our anterior, the muscles that are in front of our body, and the ones in the back.
Because we see them when you look in the mirror. That's what you see.
That's what you see. And then when you're typing on a computer, you're not retracting your shoulder blades and working your lats or even your trapezoids. Those muscles get weaker. And so, Jason, just to give some, what would be one thing for our viewers at home that are aware of some of these, you know, scenarios that their bodies are in all day? What's one thing that they could do right now for, let's say, their core or, you know, weaker glutes? Say they are one of those folks that have really tight hip flexors and they know their glutes are weak. What's something they can do right now to strengthen those glutes?
Well, first let me make the point I mentioned just a second ago about, you know, guys and, you know, the chest and the back and all that. It applies very much for women too. Now, they might not be wanting to get huge, which not many women do, but when it comes to functional advice and when it comes to functionality of the body, it goes the same for women as far as the chest muscles and the back muscles go. The lats are going to perform 10 times the work that your chest is. The chest is actually not in everyday life when you're lifting or pulling, 9 times out of 10 when you're doing any kind of work, your back is what's working, not your chest. So I just made that point real quick that this applies for women too. But as far as one exercise you can do, this is the number one exercise that, you know, people usually neglect because, you know, they think, hey, I want to build a huge upper body, I'm going to bench press. Yeah. Actually, the number one workout as far as posture goes, and as far as muscular imbalance goes, is the squat. Hmm. When you do a squat, the most of the stress is going to be on your lower legs, or your legs, your glutes, your thighs, all these muscles. But in addition to that, like if you're doing a barbell squat, which is where you have the bar across the back of your neck and you have your hands placed on the bar, it forces you to maintain correct anatomical, or not anatomical position, but correct posture, because it helps you protract your shoulders backwards and stay in the correct posture while you're doing that exercise. Mm. So that is one powerful exercise. Quick point though, if you're not familiar with how to do a squat or you've never done one before, don't try it by yourself, because not only is it the most beneficial exercise, it's also the easiest to screw up. You want to make sure, you know, at the minimum you have a video or some type of tutorial on how to do one, but ideally you're going to want somebody there. You don't necessarily have to hire a personal trainer for 50 sessions or anything crazy like that, but you're going to want to have somebody that knows what they're talking about watch you for the first few workouts so that you can know how the workout is supposed to feel and you can get that correct posture, because when you use the correct posture, that's the best workout in the world. But if you use incorrect posture, if your foot position's messed up or your hips aren't in the right position, you can actually, you know, cause some damage and you can actually hurt yourself. But definitely the squat would be the number one exercise to do.
I think if you're sitting at home right now, this is a world of knowledge for you of just things that you can apply today to help you out, because you know the only way you can truly correct a problem is to be aware of it.
Exactly.
And there's more people going in the gym, just like Jason said, and they might have rounded shoulders and a really tight chest because of their job, and they're doing 5 sets of 10 on the bench press,
not
thinking that they're benefiting themselves.
Yep, because
They're actually causing worse posture.
Right.
They're exerting that muscle imbalance even further, and that can only lead to scar tissue and injury, and there's just a number of problems
all kinds of problems
develop and that do develop. What would Jason, to get back on to what we're just branching on with muscle imbalances, you know, core, again, throwing that terminology around again, talked about a lot today. What would be one thing, and, you know, I know we've been beating this up for a while, so we'll try to get this, we're just trying to give you guys the main points here. We're not going to dive into a lot of science today, but I'd say that, and I want to give, Jesse's going to give us some examples of this, but a lot of people with tight hips are going to have a weaker core because their hips are shortened, low back's tight, and their hips are weaker. You know, their core is weaker, anteriorly the core is weaker.
Right.
You know, doing any, just give us some example of abdominal exercises.
And real quick, explain to a lot of listeners out there who may not know what core is. Explain real quick.
Guys, core is going to be anything, any muscle in your body, minus your arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be your shoulders, that can be your glutes, that can be your lats, that can be your, you know, that can be your chest, that can be your abdominal muscular complex, your rectus abdominis. And this is where I was wanting to pinpoint with Jason is there's a lot of external core muscles that just get engaged and the deeper ones get neglected. Talking about the lower back, the multifidi, the internal obliques, the transverse abdominis. Jason, what could we do for an exercise? What would be a great exercise for these folks at home that are listening that they can do to engage? And it might be just drawing their stomachs in tight.
Well, typically, as you mentioned, the core encompassing anything but the arms and legs. That is the correct. That's obviously the correct definition. But on this podcast, when we mention core, we're mostly going to be talking about anything but your arms, legs, and kind of below your chest. Any muscles that move your trunk, you know, your abs, your lower back, your obliques, any kind of those muscles. But one of the main problems, as I mentioned earlier, with, you know, the, you know, sitting is, you know, the tight hip flexors.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just a weaker core in general. As far as the best exercise to do, I would say one of the weakest areas is definitely going to be your lower back, and that's probably one of the best areas to strengthen, because how many, you know, is specifically back pain, or as far as back pain goes, specifically what area of back pain, that's going to be your lower back. One of the best exercises to do is to get like a Swiss ball, which is basically a big blow-up ball. If you're a member of a gym, I'm sure you've seen one. To get one about medium size, lay on it flat, and then rotate to where the ball, most of the force is in your lower abdominal region.
Mm-hmm.
So you're laying on it face down. And then you get to where you roll forward to where you're, it's right under your abs, and you're going to lower your trunk down so that your head is almost touching the floor. Then you're going to place your hands at the side of your head, and you're going to rear back and straighten your back out. So you're going to be bringing your trunk upwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great exercise to help strengthen that lower back and prevent lower back pain. It's kind of hard to describe exercises, you know, audio. And in the near future, we plan on, you know, doing some videos and things like that to supplement our podcast, because it's very, like I said, it's very difficult to, you know, to kind of describe, you know, what to do just with audio and not visual. So we plan on having that for you in the near future. But those are just some things to think about. Just remember that, you know, chances are, I mean, unless you, you know, work in a field or, you know, harvest or anything like that, that you're going to have some muscular imbalance issues. And those are things you really want to harp on, because, you know, it can help prevent injury and just lead to an overall better quality of life.
Yep. So that's the key. I guess if we summed it all up tonight, the key is balance.
Right.
Balance and everything. Don't focus on one thing. And maybe we can, on another show. Okay, I mean, we talked a little bit about some of the some of the exercises or some of the things that we can do. Maybe we can go into some detail on a plan on how to achieve that balance. But that's the key, is to go in when you're first starting out. Don't focus on just chest. Don't focus on just one thing, because you want everything in line working.
Keep in mind that there's more than the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and typically, like Caleb said, when you look in the mirror, you think, I need, you know, this front part, or whatever you see, the front part of yourself. But there's definitely work to be done everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, that's our show again for this week. We hope to get back on some consistency here over the next few weeks. We know that Christmas holidays are coming up, and then the new year, so we may delve into some New Year's resolutions here in the next week or so, and kind of get gear up for 08. I can't believe it's already upon us, guys. It's it's already here. So until next week, hopefully. This is Jonathan Taylor along with Jason Kremser and Caleb White signing off for tonight. Hope you guys have a great week.
Safe, sir.